All right, guys, welcome back. Got Dick Eastman here as our guest, talking about 9/11. So, yeah, before the break, you were making a point. Did you want to pick up where we were? I forgot you were talking about an airline. I think we lost connection with Dick. All right. Well, anyway, I'm not sure what he was going to remark about that, but we were going to be going on to the Pentagon. Before we do that, you know, just a couple more points about the towers to make note of. you know, all the classic symptoms of demolition are present with the falling of these buildings, guys. You've got pulverization. You've got indications of both molten and vaporized steel. The buildings came down at, about 10 seconds each, the speed of gravity. You've got massive squibs shooting out hundreds of feet out the side of the building at points way below where the buildings were crumbling. Just all kinds of, you've got your pyroclastic flow clouds. You know, those are only known to exist in the presence of controlled demolitions and volcanic eruptions. The only things known to man that produce those kind of clouds. There they were at ground zero. It would be one thing if you had one, two, or even three of these symptoms. But when you have them all together, the buildings falling straight down in on their own footprint, leaving, you know, virtually nothing behind except pieces of steel and dust. I mean, come on. What more proof do you need? Seriously. Anyway, Dick, did you want to pick up? You were talking about the airline?
Yes. Again, there were airplanes. The no-planers are completely wrong when they say there is no planes. There are 44 video recordings of these planes hitting the walls. There are 14 firemen who saw the planes. There are people in the South Tower who saw the plane coming at them to kill them, and they dreamt under their desk and so forth and lived to tell about it, how they saw it. You cannot deny that there were planes. And the no-planers were saying that the planes hit the wall and appeared to go in like butter. There was no slowdown, but Brian Salter analyzed it very carefully and convincingly and shows his steps and how to do it and how to replicate his results, showing that the planes did decelerate and as they entered. And the witness attacks there is no video showing the south side of the South Tower exploding without a plane hitting it. And all the world was looking at that tower and the one next to it that was burning at that time. And if the explosion had occurred without a plane hitting the South Tower, that would have been seen. And they dishonestly take people who were on the north side of the South Tower. The plane hit on the south side. They take people who are on the north side of the tower and see explosion, and they say there's no plane, but it's obvious where they're standing that they were at the north side, and they wouldn't see the plane. And that whole no plane thing is a lie, is designed to distract people from the remote control evidence.
It's the government itself that came up with that. But, you know, the best way to refute that is simply to point out the fact that the South Tower strike plane, so-called Flight 175, you know, if that was a hologram, for crying out loud, they would have made it look like Flight 175. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Oh, the hologram. That's another. It's impossible to project holograms like that at a distance that size, without viewing it through something and so many angles and so forth, a total impossibility. In other words, but they're trying to appeal to the not scientifically sophisticated masses to put a wedge between the masses and the more educated people who immediately reject that kind of thing. And therefore,
right,
we can't get together. But anyway, the... Now, I have some information that has not been, that'll be pretty new to your people, although it was out years ago. I wanted to talk about, this all goes back to Dov Zakheim and his electronic remote control things. there were two cases that I'm going to give you of mass murder with aircraft. Now, the first one, Egypt Air, Flight 990, 10:31:99, Halloween morning. Got a commercial?
Yeah, why don't you hold that thought? And we'll be right back, folks, with Dick Eastman talking about the biggest scam of the century, 9/11.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Matson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs. 3 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
All right, guys, welcome back to True Threats Radio. Already into the second hour. My heavens, we haven't even scratched the surface. Just to remind our listeners, if you want to call in questions or comments, for the guest or myself, you can call in at 800-313-9443. Again, that's toll-free, 800-313-9443. Dick, did you remember where you left off before the break?
I did. I want to say I don't have a website. I want to mention that since 2001, after 911, I've been putting all important articles that I've run across on 911 in a Yahoo group called Frame Up. One word, Frame Up, no hyphen. And your readers can go there. The archives are open, and it has an advanced search device in it. and you can just put in the date, rough approximate dates, and any keywords, and you will get articles that have been disappeared from the original sites they appeared on, because I didn't just give the URL, I copied the article, and so there is a tremendous research tool for all of you investigators that hasn't been gotten to. I don't even remember all that's in it, but you can find you can find things on the W2C, the Pentagon, and all the things I've been talking about. The Yahoo group is called Frame Up. Just go to Yahoo Groups and then look for Frame Up. You don't have to subscribe. I wish you wouldn't, but just go to the archives and use it as a research tool to find these old articles that have disappeared from sites over the years that are talking about some of this old stuff that I'm mentioning now. Okay, thank you. Now, what I was saying is there have been two cases of mass murder that occurred since between 1999 and 2000 and during 2001. The first was Egypt Air 990. It took off from JFK and was headed for Cairo, Egypt, with 100 Americans and 75 Egyptians aboard, including top military Egyptians that had just gone through extensive training. The pilot, everyone was speaking in Arabic on this plane. The plane was had taken off, and the pilot went into the bathroom there in the restroom in the plane. And while he was gone, the plane deviates while on automatic pilot. The co-pilot responds with a little Arabic prayer, which is the equivalent to, say, an old-fashioned Catholic crossing himself when something really goes bad. He can't get control of this thing, and he tries to disengage the autopilot but fails. All of this is on the black box, the recorders after the the plane goes into a nosedive. 16 seconds after this, the pilot comes back in and asks him in Arabic, what's happening? Now, before this happened, just before this plane went off of autopilot, the pilot got a request to switch to a different frequency for the plane communication. Now, then we hear in English on the box the words control it in English, the only English on the whole tape, and it's not the co-pilot speaking, and the co-pilot is alone at the time. So the words control it have just been recorded here. Now, and then after that, the plane starts to go into this nosedive. The pilot and co-pilot are working to pull the plane up. They can't do it. The plane goes full throttle. The pilot cuts the fuel lines, but that doesn't work. The right and left elevators move in opposite directions. The ailerons are on both wings, move full up, and the pilot orders to shut off the engines, and the co-pilot says they're shut off and so forth, and then the last things they have are the words, pull out, they're pull, they're trying to pull up, and then suddenly the voice recorder is shut off, just turned off, before the crash occurs. Someone just turns off the voice recorder. Now, to me, that's a clear case of remote control takeover to murder these highly important militarily Egyptian military men who've just gotten specialized training from the U.S. Again, at this time, Dov Zikheim was head of this system planning corporation making remote control for controlling planes. Now, after 9/11, do you remember the crash that took place in Queens about a month after?
Yeah, Flight 12, I think it was.
That was Flight 587 from New York.
What it was, right.
And it was an Airbus. They took off, all of a sudden, the plane is in the air just a short time, and all of
its
a sudden...
Its tail fell off, right?
Well, no, but before it fell off, it started to swing back and forth beyond natural range. It just didn't fall off. It wasn't just that the Airbus has this sort of laminated wing, which is actually very strong. It didn't fail. It was swinging beyond natural range, creating sort of a strain, like if you ever had a tin can, you're trying to open it, and you didn't get it around all the way, and you have to kind of bend it back and forth to get the lid off. That kind of bending back and forth is what broke the train off. Now this, what caused this back and forth motion? The National Transportation and Safety Board said that there was a Japan Airlines plane that went ahead, and they blamed chaos theory on it, that some kind of a turbulence came up and hit the tailwind and started that happening, which is completely absurd.
Like one pilot said, if they can fall off that easy, I'm never going to fly again.
That's right, a complete impossibility. Now, the flight data indicated unusual sideway movements that slammed passengers back and forth. Again, it's going back and forth as if trying to break off this piece of metal. When the rudder was gone, the plane could have still been able to fly, but then the flaps and ailerons started playing by themselves. And at one point, the plane turned 10 degrees in 1 second, 180-degree U-turn in 18 seconds. It banked left, even though the data shows the pilots were working the controls to move in the opposite direction. No dialogue was released on this in the tapes. And
let me ask you, Dick, I have no question that that was foul play as well, like most everything else like of this nature. But I've heard several different theories. I'm just curious what your take is on that, what the motive was for that.
Well, there's two possibilities. One, first of all, we just did 911, and we are not scared of it. We are not huddling that we're going to be caught. We are still aggressive and mean, and we're demonstrating it to you. Those of you who know what's really going on, we are still in control, and we've done this, and we are still mean enough to do more of the same. It was a message of that nature. Also, it could have contained that there could have been people on the plane that they just wanted to eliminate. And another thing,
that's
the,
one I've heard too.
A third
the
one,
pilot specifically, I heard.
Marion Blakey was put in charge of the National Transportation Safety Board, a complete political hack, a lobbyist bureaucrat with no competence in this area at all. And but the board, that organization has to investigate airplane flights. So if one goes down in Queens, they can devote. What are they going to do? We've just had 911, and we're not investigating it. So in order to solve that problem, they gave them the crash in Queens to keep them busy. And, of course, what they did was a totally asinine, incompetent, impossible explanation. It is impossible that they tried to blame the pilot for accidentally making the rudder move unintentionally and so forth. But that's not the plane banked left, and even though the data shows the pilots were working to control it, moved in the opposite direction. Both planes, the power and the batteries quit, and again they were cut off. Their dialogue was cut off, and the planes dived at full throttle and then put down their flaps, which broke off the tore the pods and the brackets and broke off the engines. So this was a demonstration of power to those who knew what was going on, and but certainly to us who are interested in a clear-cut demonstration of the ability to take over planes in mid-flight and do whatever they want with them, including crash them into the two Trade Center towers. Now, I'm making the point, remote control is the way it was used. They did not trust box cutters. Whatever was going on with the different...
You think Building 7 was the command and control center where the operators of the remote control devices were housed?
I don't
probably
know.
Probably in the bunker. That's what I think. All right, stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with Dick Eastman.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
All right, guys. Back on True Threats Radio, your host, Charlie Giuliani. Got Dick Eastman on, talking about 9-11. I want to remind our callers, or our listeners, I should say, if you want to call in. Toll-free number is 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Just a quick reminder, we're still conducting the pledge drive here at RBN. And if you want to call in and give your donation, you can do that by calling 1-800-724-2719. Or else you can send in your check or money order to RBN Office, 1015 South Mays, MAYS, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. All right, Dick, before the break, we're talking about, I was mentioning Building 7. I strongly suspect that that served as the command and control center, which is why they had to bring it down later that day to hide the evidence of what had gone on in there. Giuliani had built a bunker just 2 years prior to 9/11. $12 million he had installed it, supposedly as a command and control center to be in there with his minions to operate the city in time of crisis. But I think it was built to house the perpetrators of this whole fiasco. Not only to manage the flying of the planes, but probably the demolition job as well. They had front row seats, perfect view of the two towers, and they would have been protected from falling debris.
That's right. And not only that, after they got rid of it, but where did Giuliani go afterwards? They had on one of the piers in New York, they had set up a bigger command center because they were going to do an anthrax attack drill and they had set up a bigger command center that was just waiting for him to move in, and he did, and take over and run the operation from that command center that was standing by.
Yeah, and as he was describing that, he actually said, we moved there because we were told the buildings were going to cult.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought they cut him off, but they didn't. He actually did finish the sentence. He did say collapse.
Mm-hmm. Barbara Honegger has a very good article. I mentioned this Frame Up Yahoo group, and I have a Charles Giuliani interview sources if anyone wants to go to that. And the things I've talked about, there are sources. You can read the articles on the different points I've made if any of your listeners want to do that. It's just sort of footnotes to everything I've been saying for them, because I know we're covering a lot of ground on your program today.
Great. Yeah, good idea.
All right. Now let's talk. My specialty has been since March of 2002, the Pentagon, and that's what I believe that there are. We have six or seven proofs, not incriminating things, but actual proofs that that it was a false flag attack on the Pentagon, and that the Boeing 757 did not crash there. Let's go through them, shall we? The first is...
Actually, you know, before we jump into that, I always like to point this out to people. Aside from the fact that there's no evidence of a Boeing having hit the building, how in the world could these poorly trained pilots who couldn't even fly a Cessna, their own instructors, Hani Hanjour, said to have been the main pilot behind the wheel, his instructor from the Sorby Flying School in San Diego said he was so bad that he would not fly with him ever again, just 6 weeks before the attacks. And yet, just 6 weeks later, he's supposed to have undertaken a maneuver that would require a military pilot with a military plane.
Exactly. That's true. And there is a very good airline pilot, 911 pilots site where they have gone in great detail to show the impossibility of that maneuver.
Pilots for 9/11 Truth, yeah.
Okay. So let me go over my different proofs. The first one let's start with is the famous security camera video that was released in early March of 2002. There were the famous five pictures. The first one shows... The first one is before the explosion. The second one shows this tremendous white-hot explosion on the Pentagon. And the third and fourth shows the more orange-red color with black smoke and so forth of the development of that explosion. Now, this is evidence. Let's look. What is this evidence? It was released. It's Pentagon... camera. It's a Pentagon security camera. It was released by parties unknown, but in March of 2002, the Pentagon spokesman vouched for it, said it was authentic, said that it was essentially correct and not altered, and so it was substantiated then. Also, this same piece of evidence was used as federal evidence in the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui. And so, therefore, it has the status of federal evidence. Now, what do these five pictures show? They do not show a Boeing 757. They show if you'll recall, you see the Pentagon, the west wall. You see it on the left of the picture, and in the foreground there is a pass reader box, sort of a ticket box that you, when you're driving into the Pentagon, you put your little ticket in and it reads your pass.
Yep, here we go again.
Okay.
All right, stick with us. We'll be right back, folks, with Dick Eastman.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hello, everybody. This is Jimmy Vaughn, and I want to invite all who love liberty to come out Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. and support the only man for president, Ron Paul. This will be his first fundraiser in Austin, so be there or be square. I'll be there playing my guitar along with some other special guests, and we want everybody to come out and have a good time.
The Ron Paul for President Rally and Fundraiser will be at the Texas History Museum in Austin, Texas, at Congress and MLK on Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 till 10 p.m. For ticket or donation info, call 512-250-8649. Again, that's 512-250-8649.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
We're back on True Threats Radio. Got our guest, Dick Eastman, talking about 9/11. You know, Dick, before we go on, I meant to ask you this earlier. I usually like to find out from 9/11 truthers when it is they actually came to this understanding and how it is that they came to the. You know, were you aware of government corruption prior to 9/11, or did 9/11 wake you up?
Waco and the Oklahoma City bombing woke me up. I was teaching economics at local college here, and that those events completely unsettled me, terrified me, so forth, and it took a while to recover from that, and then
made you realize we're not living in quite the free country that we thought we were.
No, I was teaching a course in money and banking, and that also frightened me a lot, and I eventually learned to live with the fear and just do what I can to expose what I know and what I find out.
So you pretty much suspected 9/11 right away, huh? As an inside
job. It seemed funny how those buildings went down, and I was active on the Internet at the time, and I was originally saying, we don't know who this did this. It could have been anti-globalist people, anarchists. It could have been an Israeli false flag attack. It could have been Muslims. It could have been organized crime wanting to do something, and I put that out, and that was the position I maintained until.
Well, it's organized crime, all right.
And in fact, if you look at this frame-up you can see that the information about the financial things, the gold scan, all the crimes that were being investigated, big crimes against very powerful ruling elite type people, that I had put that information in there way back in October of 2001.
Well, you know what I find pathetic is they call these alleged hijackers, and of course I do mean alleged because there's no evidence there were any hijackers on any of those planes, but they call them master planners. What in the world is masterfully planning about hijacking planes up in Boston when your targets are in New York? That one just blows my mind. If they were master planners, they would have known that you can have an intercept and or shoot down within 5 minutes anywhere over North American airspace.
Totally.
And yet it's a half-hour-plus ride from New York to Boston or vice versa.
No one would have, even with a modicum of intelligence or awareness, this average intelligence awareness, especially a group of people, they would know not to tackle Washington, D.C. after you've hit two skyscrapers in New York. There had to be, they would never have attempted it. They would have known not to attempt it. It would have been a certainty that it couldn't be done unless it was known to them that it was all fixed and arranged.
Yeah. I mean, for the two towers to have been hit successfully is bad enough, but then you realize the Pentagon, I mean, the most powerful military headquarters on the planet was powerless to stop this third hijacked plane that was known to have been hijacked early in its flight, and yet was allowed for 40 minutes to come toward Washington.
Armed with air-to-ground missiles that were not activated because military planes don't activate them.
And they were on extra high state of alert. That's one thing that Michael Rupert did bring out that was very good, you know, the Vigilant Guardian thing that was going on. They had extra planes on alert that day. They had, Andrews Air Force Base, which is just a few minutes down the road, could have been there within a split second. Nothing was done.
All of that is very good grounds for suspicion. I'm going to present now just what I think are definite proofs that designed for a grand jury. All right. We were talking about the five security videos that were released in March of 2002 that were used as in the trial of Masooli, and then were also...
You mean the pictures, the five frames?
The five pictures from the security camera. And then were re-released officially by the Pentagon in
May of last year.
Now, all right, the first frame shows the Pentagon to the left, and then there's this parking pass machine in the foreground where the cars go by and put their tickets in. And behind that, sticking up from behind that, is a tail fin. And it appears only in that picture, and of course, after the plane is gone and the building is exploding, you see the tail fin is gone. Now, that's the Pentagon is on the left, this parking pass thing with the tail fin of what I'll call the killer jet, but it could be a missile. The tail fin is sticking up from behind this. But this parking pass machine has a certain width, and the tail fin is a certain height. Now, given the height of that tail fin that's visible, and what we know of the proportions between fuselage length and tail fin size of the Boeing 757, we should be seeing in that picture the cockpit and a good part of the front of the fuselage sticking out to the left of that.
Yeah, it should be a lot bigger than what is shown in that picture.
It's not any bigger. There is no nose of any kind there, and that's been well established by close-ups and so forth. You can see that that's the same background there that's in the subsequent picture.
Well, you also have that suspicious exhaust coming out. You don't see exhaust from a commercial airliner.
You got that to the point. Nobody who watched the Boeing 757 approaching the Pentagon, and yes, there definitely was a Boeing 757 approaching the Pentagon. I'm not. Nobody who saw that plane saw smoke. But all right, this is just our first little proof. Now you have brought up what I think is a very important point. This from the right side. The Pentagon's on the left. The parking pass reader is on the middle of the picture, and then on the left, from the left side of the picture, we see this thick cloud of smoke, too thick to be any kind of contrail, extending to the pass reader box with the tail fin sticking up, and just in a position there that I have shown pictures of F-16s firing air-to-ground missiles with the same cloud coming from right under the wing as it's being fired, and that cloud configuration is the same thickness and everything as what we see here. So what the And you can tell by looking, the Pentagon is 71 feet high, and you can tell that this little plane that is hidden behind this parking pass machine, where you only see the tail fin, if it was stood on its end, would not even be as high as the Pentagon. But a 757 is 155 feet long. The Purdue University engineers did a scale model showing what the Boeing 757 standing next to the Pentagon in that location would look like, and it is huge. So people have taken the tail, they've taken a picture of a 757 and shrunk it down, and they superimpose that tail fin over the tail fin in the picture, and of course it should stick out, but that underestimates it. That tail fin is much smaller.
I don't know if you noticed this, but there's definite proof that they tampered with this footage, because when they originally released the five frames, they had the date and time stamp on them. Of course, it was the wrong date and time, but it doesn't matter.
Well,
when
I believe the date and time stamp, it also says on that stamp, it says impact. So, of course, the camera is not going to say impact. So what that date
right.
is... What that date is the date that they made the transfer, that the date that they made this copy from the video camera. So I it's not as significant. I don't view it as that significant. But anyway, here is their evidence.
But why isn't the date and time stamp on it at all from the actual day when they released the whole video?
Well, this is a copy, but the ones that the state, that the ones that the government released in 2002 lack that. So it was just
right.
the person
so that,
who made
that
it.
Proof they tampered.
Yeah, well, it's not the naive picture that hasn't been tampered. They took the picture and then they put these little name plates on here of saying impact and the date at which this was done. But but that's again not critical. The thing is, it's their evidence and it shows conclusively that this plane, this object, airborne object, is not a 757.
Now, I think it's critical though in the sense that. Without the date and time stamp, you can't tell frames were removed so easily.
Well, no. We don't know. They might have removed frames that show the plane much better views of the plane before it got hidden behind this post in the middle. They might have shown removed before and after frames that would have shown the plane, and they might have done it deliberately to conceal it. But just giving what they gave us is proof. That it was not a Boeing 757. Well, I call
that. Oh, sure.
Let's get away from the security camera. The only other thing on the security camera picture is the second frame, and it shows a tremendous white hot explosion rising maybe 20 or 30 feet above the Pentagon, and it's extremely bright white, and that is inconsistent with an aluminum plane carrying kerosene jet fuel hitting
right.
a brick wall. And obviously we have some explosive here, Barb.
By the way, Dick, when's the last time you saw, even at a rinky-dink street corner gas station, when's the last time you saw a time-lapse surveillance camera?
Well, I haven't. I haven't.
And this is the multi-billion-dollar funded Pentagon. Yeah, they're going to have a time-lapse camera, sure.
Yeah, that does seem unlikely. And then where are all the other cameras that they had at the...
Right.
At the headquarters of the American military.
All
right. Barbara Honegger has pointed out that there were several people. I knew of one, but she says there were several people who smelled cordite, which is indicative of high explosive and very different from kerosene or burning flesh and so forth.
You know something? I'm becoming more convinced now, though, that that might have been from the post-strike explosions, probably from the plane, too. You know, they probably had explosives in the plane, but I think, too, that, I mean, there were multiple explosions going off from what I found out recently.
Barbara Honegger, now, if you, again, if you look at what I've put in there in the Charles Giuliani resources thing at the Frame Up Yahoo group, if you go to that page, it'll be right up in the front there on one of the top articles, and it has references to Barbara Honegger. You can get her article there, and she talks about explosions that were people who were witnesses that she interviewed in the Pentagon in the basement at 9:32, well before. At first, originally they were saying that the explosion happened around the impact happened around 9:45 and so forth. But Barbara Honegger has a story that there were bombs going off just as at the World Trade Center, same modus operandi notice. And again, I should mention it here, who was in the wedge of the Pentagon that was hit? Now we have bombs going off before the impact. Who was in the wedge that was hit, the newly refurbished wedge that was hit? It was empty, but they moved two groups in. What groups did they move in? They moved in the military the Army financial auditors. Now remember, right, Doug Zakheim and the $2.3 trillion that was announced just the day before. The auditors who would investigate that and track it down, they were all killed. They were the ones who were the first ones moved into this new wedge that was hit. Who else was killed? The other segment of people that was moved into the wedge that was hit by the Pentagon and all were killed was the Navy command, including the Office of Navy Intelligence. Now, the Office of Navy Intelligence is...
Such convenience.
Independent of the CIA. It was created independent. It was older than the CIA, and they never merged it with the CIA. It was independent. It wasn't part of the gang. And it was acting independently and possibly patriotically. Those people were also hit and killed. Now, Barbara Honegger talks about dead bodies in the A-ring. Now, the plane, the impact of the plane that or missile that hit the Pentagon hit the outer E-ring, and we know that there was a exit hole in the C-ring, yet dead bodies in the A-ring and explosions beforehand. It was a hit. It was a hit to knock out people who were going to be investigating the financial and military treason things that were going on. That's what 9-1 was. That's why it was. They hit there. Rumsfeld was on the other side of the building, and Wolfowitz and the rest. They were safe from it, and it hit these targeted individuals, which fits right in with the big money crime cover up motive for 9-1-1. Now, okay, I said there were six proofs. I don't know if I hope I'll get to all of them. The first one was the video camera. The second one is let's do the wall imprint. That's there's two things about this wall imprint. The engineers, American Society
the
of Civil ASCE, the American Society of Civil Engineers, went in after the attack, and they analyzed all the different pillars that were standing and so forth, and they determined the angle of the hit and so forth. And they gave a diagram that identified the pillar. A pillar is between two windows. The pillar as number 14, where the nose of the killer jet hit. Now, if the killer jet that hit at about a 45 to 50 degree angle, the west wall, in other words, it was coming from the southwest and hit the west wall at a 45 degree angle at pillar 14. Given that the sweep back of the wings and the position of the engines and so forth, if that plane had been an F-16, then two pillars to the right from column 14 where the nose hit would be column 16, and that is where the starboard wing engine would have had to have hit. The right engine would have had to have hit at column 16. Now, there are immediately after the fire trucks arrived, they started squirting water across the first floor so you could not see column 16. And there's a story there, too, but then they continued doing that, even though this water, this curtain of water, was obscuring things. It wasn't hitting any fires. It wasn't putting anything out. It was a deliberate curtain of water to cover this damage hole.
Didn't work so well, though. They did manage to get some very revealing pictures of that hole, and it's just ridiculously small.
Yes. Well, it's not only the important there is a small hole, but I zero it down to more specific than that. There's the fourth column.
Well, I mean, it went through a window, essentially, is what they're telling us.
there's two windows on the second floor. Possibly a fuselage could have gotten through there. But if this was a single engine plane, if this was a double engine Boeing 757, column 16 would have had to have been taken out. A clear photograph, which I have, and you could, it's referenced in that frame up Yahoo group and elsewhere, shows that column 16 is still standing. It wasn't hit by an engine. This was a single-engine military plane or missile or cruise missile, but not a double-engine plane. So that is proof number one. The second thing, the tail fin of a Boeing 757, had it hit the Pentagon, would have reached almost to the ceiling of the fourth floor, yet there is absolutely no damage or broken windows above the ceiling of the second floor. And
perfectly intact. Yep. One more break, and then we'll come back with another 5 or 10 minutes or so on the other side. Stay with us, folks.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
All right, guys, we're down to the last 5 or 6 minutes here. I can't believe how quick the time has gone by. Dick, I was going to have you wrap up really quick. Is there any last important points you wanted to make, but we do have a quick caller, so hopefully if he's not on for too long, then you can quickly wrap up. I wish we had more time, but yeah, Adam, are you with us from Utah?
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah, welcome.
Hey, I just had a question for your guest there about the $1 trillion or $2 trillion or whatever it was on the plane. You know, I haven't heard a lot about that, but I did hear, I did read on the internet about it a little bit, and then I also kind of heard that, you know, the cruise missile or whatever it was, the Tomahawk missile that hit the side of the Pentagon, you know, that it took out the budget department that was supposed to do the investigating, like he said. And I was just wondering, you know, if your guest could elaborate, if at all, elaborate on that money that was stolen, the $1 trillion. And you know, just one final comment is, I was reading an article on the internet a couple days ago, and it said that Ron Paul said that like $160 billion in gold was underneath the Trade Center, the two towers, like $160 billion. And then it was kind of downplayed down to about $300 or $400 million, and so it got kind of downplayed from $160 billion to $300 or $400 million. But so it seems to me like a big aspect of the 9/11 thing was it was really kind of like the greatest bank robbery in history, kind of.
Yeah, well, let's you know, look at the Iraq War. People don't realize the big thievish activities going on with that. But you got Halliburton charging, you know, $60 for a six pack of Coke. It's unbelievable. And you know, the government knows this. They don't care. They write the checks. What do they care? It's your pockets if you're getting picked.
Well, what do we know about that money that was stolen that the budget department was supposed to investigate? What do we know about that? Not a lot, or that $1 trillion something that Rumsfeld stole or something like that?
Yeah, nothing has ever come out of that. I mean, it's acknowledged. This was in several mainstream media papers, you know, around the country.
That what, the United States government just lost $1 trillion? Is that what happened? They just said,
well, it was over a trillion, actually. They reported a trillion initially, and then the next year it came out it was 1.8, and then it wound up being 2.3. And you know, I mean, take your pick. What does it matter? It's a phenomenal amount of money.
Well, was it lost or stolen?
Just unaccounted for. They simply could not account for it. They didn't know where it went.
Yeah. There's no specific people associated with it or any department, or just the government just said, oh, we lost $2 trillion or $1.8 trillion, and no specific department, no people, no nothing?
I'd like to make a comment on this, if I may.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. The getting back to Dov Zakheim, who is a dual citizen with Israel, Israel has long spied on American industry, taken our defenses, taken our secrets. They gave China the secrets to the neutron bomb and other things. What we have is essentially hostile, more allied with China than with the United States, a group of individuals controlling the Defense Department at this time. And they were taking technology, money, just looting it.
And they're still doing it.
In a hostile act.
Unfortunately, we run out of time, Dick. Maybe we'll have on again sometime. Thanks to our caller there in Utah. That's what we have here, folks, is a government gone amok. It's totally unaccountable. It does what it wants when it wants and feels it's not answerable to anyone. We've got to make them answerable. Anyway, folks, we'll see you tomorrow. We've got Greg Palast coming on tomorrow. Don't want to miss that. Have a good night. We'll see you then.